Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the evening news program, heard on WWCR, Global Star, Liberty Works Radio, and K-Star Talk Radio.
And Lou, that's Liberty Works Radio Network.
Ah, yes, you're right about that. That's right. We're continuing, Elizabeth Cuppett Carefully and I, Lou Carefully, tonight, October 7th, with revelations we started last week. Key emergency alerts of these demonic, death-laden times. Tonight's program is entitled Demonic Death and Destruction, Fall 2020-21, Part 2. To start tonight's emergency news, Elizabeth's opening monologue will make any conscious, rational being's hair stand on end. We're in October, but this is not a joke of a pretend Halloween House of Horrors. This is mankind's survival in question.
Turn away from the beast and the coming mark, October 3rd, 2021. The true VAERS COVID-19 death and injury data cannot be obfuscated or covered up forever. In addition, God's spiritual truth cannot be bamboozled by the witting or unwitting heretical, quote, sermons of the new New York governor. Time magazine headlines her this way. Accidental New York Governor Kathy Hochul does not intend to go down in history as an asterisk. Was Hochul trying to be a pastor, making herself a religious chimera of everyone, perhaps from Catherine Kuhlman to Mother Teresa, maybe even usurping God himself? At the Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn, Hochul told Reverend Bernard, and attending worshipers, quote, God did answer our prayers. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers. He made men come up with a vaccine. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated. All of you, yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love but to care about each other enough to say, please get the vaccine because I love you and I want you to live. Worldwide and in America itself, a period of great political and spiritual darkness has begun. America's Constitution, for now, has been shredded. God's judgment hovers over a largely unrepentant America and a large number of its pastors who have advocated for their congregations to take aborted fetal cell line COVID-19 vaccines. Even more abhorrently, some pastors have turned over their sanctuaries to Satan as injection rooms for the abomination to God, dead baby-derived clot shots. A sparse number of Christian theologians, like Roman Catholic Archbishop Carlo Vigano, have spoken out against these vaccines. Some Christian doctors of great courage and integrity, including Dr. Stella Emanuel, Dr. Peter McCullough, and Dr. Jane Ruby, have come forward to speak out. Dr. Ruby's latest revelation is shocking, that some vaccine injuries occurred to children too young to have been in the approved age groups. How did this happen during vaccine trials? Ruby also revealed the Pfizer booster shot is not a smaller dose, but is just the same as its first two doses. Strange also to us here at DividedKingdomRadio.com is the news that these boosters are being heavily pushed on people over 18 and over 50 who have underlying medical conditions. This CDC recommendation is also applicable to people over 65 who had two doses of Pfizer or ones who live in a long-term care facility. Is this Hitler's T4 euthanasia van reborn on a roll or what? The old and the handicapped apparently are the, quote, useless eaters. Our suspicions of a global planned genocide mindset are enhanced by Alice Parks' statement in Time magazine, October 11th, 2021. Both the World Health Organization and the European Medicines agency maintain that so far the data don't show that boosters are necessary for anyone other than people with compromised immune systems. I have to interrupt my own monologue, Lou, to reveal to the listeners that you and I were listening today to the Mike Adams situation update for the day, and when we realize that sometimes the Illuminati is supposed to have a code that telegraphs ahead what it's going to do. For instance, the movie The Lone Gunman was a preceding warning about 9/11 coming. There were planes in it that hit the World Trade Center buildings, all of that. But today we heard that on the runway, the fashion runway, and I believe that the year was 2019. Is that what you recall?
Yes, I think that's right.
There was a model. And listeners, what do you think her name was? Why, it was COVID. Oh, my goodness. What are the odds of that being a coincidence, mathematician Lou?
I would say about one in a million.
Pretty far out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, this has been planned for a long time. And so back to my essay, another eloquent and powerful voice, that of Dr. Carrie Madej, was heard on the Stu Peters Show, September 29th, 2021. We should all listen to her advice to wake up. God has been revealing to Carrie some of the most important evidence and information we've ever seen since the beginning of this pandemic. On September 29th, 2021, Carrie Madej told talk show host Stu Peters of her amazing findings. God had opened an unusual door of discovery. At the end of the day, in a lab in Georgia, the last person was injected with a Moderna vaccine, and Dr. Madej and others were able to examine under the microscope the leftover contents of the vial that would have been discarded. In that Moderna vaccine, Dr. Madej observed a weird tentacle-like structure. This, quote, creature, amazingly, seemed to demonstrate, quote, self-awareness. Madej described how it moved out to the edge of the microscope slide and seemed to lift itself off the slide. We looked at this phenomenon that was under magnification 400x. It resembled a flying dark angel and looked a lot like some pictures of Baphomet. And we know that Baphomet is kind of a code being for Satan. And back to the article, Dr. Madej also observed colors strangely beginning to emerge in the vial. The substances in the Moderna vial were first colorless, then transformed into brilliant blues, yellows, and purples. Another vial, this time a Johnson & Johnson sample, had fluorescent pastels. In J&J, Madej saw gray squares, graphene-like structures, spheres, and rings. How could these colors emerge without a chemical reaction? When Dr. Madej questioned experts, she found that such colors are produced when white light from the microscope is shown on a superconducting material. I'd like to repeat that again because Lou and I found that rather fascinating, the fact that there shouldn't be any colors in this colorless liquid unless some kind of a chemical reaction occurred. So they explained something like that could happen if you had a superconducting material. What is this superconducting material? Carrie Madej questioned, then answered, a superconductor is an injected operating system. Moderna's mRNA operating system is revealing itself as an artificial intelligence tool that will change and keep changing the bodies and perhaps souls of all the world's hapless men, women, and children who get jabbed. Pfizer, too. And what about Johnson & Johnson? Have we been lied to? We were told mRNA was not part of Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine. Then how do Carrie Madej and the other Georgia lab workers see structures apparently built by operating systems and bright colors in the J&J jabs? The Moderna self-aware entity that lifted itself up on the edge of the slide, we believe, is not just a physical creation. It is a manifestation of supernatural evil. And I have those words personified, listeners, capital S. For supernatural, capital E for evil, robbing the souls of the people who choose to put aborted fetal cell line-derived COVID vaccines, abomination to God, into their bodies. In contrast, those poor people, some of them our and your close friends and relatives, who did not know about or understand this anathema to God, may possibly be forgiven by God's mercy. Some of them will die a clot-shot death that is sudden and perhaps relatively painless. I, Elizabeth, continue to see a similar recurring pattern in the obituaries listed in our local Maryland newspaper. On weekdays, about one out of three obits possibly suggests COVID vaccine demise, sudden, unexpected deaths. In the latest weekend edition, 8 out of 15 was the ratio of this silent, possibly clandestine, toll. Yes, these were people who died without warning, quietly, some of them at their homes. One unforgettable obituary that was recent read, "Quietly slipped into eternity." According to lawyer Thomas Renz, Pfizer itself is owned by Bill Gates. This world population reduction impresario controls Mark of the Beast tattoo tool, Luciferase. Will you stand apart from Satan's evil? Will you pay the price to remain human? Will you honor a sublime God whose remarkable creation we are, even if the great tribulation begins and no man can buy or sell without the mark? Dr. Madej said that with these injectable operating systems into COVID vaccines, quote, this is proof they're putting an operating system inside people. This happened in the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson samples we observed. This is the beginning or advent of transhumanism. This is your beginning, your advent of being able to have surveillance and spying done on people. Just like Bill Gates said he is doing in West Africa, people need to remember that the Gates Foundation, or at least Bill Gates and Gabby, his company, and that's spelled capital G, capital A, capital B, capital I, is working with MasterCard and Trust Stamp. Lou, you and I have to interject, we reported on this months ago, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Yes. And so Carrie Madej is explaining MasterCard and Trust Stamp, an artificial intelligence program, testing it on people in West Africa with their COVID vaccines, injections, I should say, giving them a digital ID. They can only get their monetary funds through the digital ID and MasterCard. No other way. No cash, nothing. And all their medical records downloaded into this digital format in their body. And they said in this program, this research experiment they're doing on the people, the substance is inside of them. This hydrogel substance, of course. Why don't we use it for surveillance and predictive policing? We are going to use it for surveillance and predictive policing on the people of West Africa right now. They've been using it since July of 2020. And they said that once they have it perfected, they would like to unveil it in all the developed nations. They're calling it the wellness pass, which is also known as the vaccine passport. And how are they going to do that? They have to put something inside your body so they can know everything you're doing. We are children of God. I will not stand for it. And again, I have to interject that my semi-dyslexic trouble there with Lou helping me on a program recently about I guess we call it an anagram, don't we? What do we call that when we have a thing stand for things? It's an acronym. I think that's
right.
The right,
yes.
Right one,
that's
not an anagram. An acronym for COVID-19. It was Certificate of Vaccine ID, wasn't it?
That's right.
And then we had the 19, which was AI, based on the Hebrew numerology. A would be 1, B, 2, but the ID would be AI. So the 19, rather, would be AI, artificial intelligence. So we can see these are things that I'm interjecting here that look like it is leading toward the mark of the beast. So, you have to be alert. You have to be aware. You have to be praying much more heavily than you've ever been praying before. And now back to my essay. Every Christian's true walk with God is being tested by the choice of being injected or not. We are likely watching the mark of the beast in embryonic form emerging. Next, the choice of gene therapy boosters to follow. Hear Carrie Madej's words, "We are children of God." A vaccine passport is not a Christian's guide to life. Ours is not the wide way that leads to destruction and eternal abode in hell. Our passport is the living word of God, as found in the Holy Scripture. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Joshua 24:10. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. And so we urge you to pray very, very hard and to send your friends and your family to DividedKingdomRadio.com. They can see this essay posted there. They could download it. You could take it to your pastors if some pastors are on the side of Jesus Christ and God Almighty and understand the times that we're living in. And now Lou Caverly's Rivets and Bolts. I feel my joints creaking, Lou. They feel a little metallic. Lou's Rivets and Bolts disturbing monologue.
Behind the clutch-shot Oz curtain, turning us into the Tin Man, October 5th, 2021. Just 2 days ago, Elizabeth Cuppet Cavalli wrote an essay detailing the findings of Dr. Carrie Madej concerning unusual contaminants in a sample of Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. Little did we think we would have additional information in that vein in so short a time, but here we go again, with the observations of another medical expert who has done blood testing for 15 years.
And, you know, as we slow down and we think about this, Lou, the depth of this, what we're going to reveal now is just horrendous. And it does support this idea that the globalists want this transhumanism. And we know that it's a cover story. They will never, never download part of our, quote, eternal souls, they might say, into the cloud consciousness of the Internet. It's going to be the T4 van undercover. We will be killed. It's a way to murder people and reduce the carbon footprint. Go ahead, Lou.
Dr. Sandra Botha has her PhD in alternative medicine, practicing in South Africa. A guest on the Stu Peters Show, October 4th, 2021, Dr. Botha explained how she had examined blood taken from non-vaccinated patients and compared it with blood from persons who had been vaccinated. She showed slides of both samples. The comparison was shocking. Just as we had seen earlier in similar slides that Dr. Jane Ruby showed from the UK's Dr. Wellburn, the blood of unvaccinated patients had normal, round, red blood cells, uniformly spaced and not clumped. In the blood of those who had been vaccinated, the red blood cells were clumped, distorted, and appeared to be sticking together. Botha remarked that these injured cells would not be able to deliver oxygen effectively. They would have a very hard time passing through the smaller capillaries. These slides were shocking enough, but the strangest were yet to come. Next, Dr. Botha described her microscope slide findings. First, she saw some irregular dark blobs. Next to appear were black metal discs joined to each other by some type of metal, in quotes, connectors. She commented on this very distinctive phenomenon. Dr. Botha stated, quote, "They looked engineered. They looked very symmetrical," unquote. The discs were arranged in consistent patterns, in several instances having six discs situated around and practically tangent to a central disc. Also, the very short bonds joining the discs were equally spaced around the central disc. This would maximize the available space. As most of us may recall from geometry class, exactly six circles can surround and be tangential to a single circle of the same size. Dr. Botha said that they were too, quote, "structured to be biological," unquote. This would infer that these rings belong more to the world of artificial intelligence than to the world of humanity. In her 15 years of work, Dr. Botha has never seen anything like this. When asked by Dr. Botha, many fellow doctors told her she was not seeing air bubbles. They said, quote, air bubbles do not have such symmetry in their arrangement, nor are they attached to each other by bonds, unquote. Both Dr. Botha and Stu Peters remarked, just as lay observers, that none of these weird constructions on the slides looked anything like air bubbles. Dr. Botha found another amazing occurrence after leaving the vaccine sample out in the air. The discs had completely disappeared. In their place were satanic-looking jagged lines. They resembled a barbed wire fence, almost like the razor wire at the Capitol. Some of them were almost perfectly parallel to each other for part of their length. They reminded us of a medieval torture device, or a jagged-toothed spring trap used to catch small animals. Who is being caught in this witch's brew concoction? These construction lines form a network, in which any point can be reached from another by following some combination of the lines. They reminded me of a schematic diagram of a complex electrical circuit. Is it possible that in some way they serve this function? Perhaps to transmit information to a surveillance source outside the body, or to permit someone on the outside to maneuver what goes in to the body. What goes on within the body. The 5G scenario possibility for control of the masses comes to mind. Dr. Sandra Botha is treating many patients who have been vaccinated. She described the illnesses they have suffered post-clot shot, severe embolisms, memory loss, blood clots, loss of movement of the at the injection site, nerve pain, and shortness of breath. They are breathless because the oxygen levels in their blood are very low since the mangled red blood cells are unable to do their work. White blood cells are also affected. Dr. Botha cries, just as Dr. Carrie Madej did, when she sees how her patients who are COVID vaccine injured plan to take their children to get the shots. One man, her incoming patient, had 8 heart attacks in 5 hours.
And I have to interject in Lou's essay there that we've had a last-minute bulletin that Francis Collins, head of the NIH, has suddenly vamoosed. He got out of Dodge. We had read earlier in Time magazine that he came from this very, very earnest Christian background, supposedly a strong biblical, a family connection to maybe fundamental Christianity. But we really wonder because we think now that perhaps the axe is getting ready to fall because these are war crimes. They are crimes against humanity. But go ahead, Lou.
Yes. Back to the essay, one man, Dr. Botha's incoming patient, had 8 heart attacks in 5 hours. He had been chosen as a guinea pig for the COVID vaccine rollout. He has been in the ICU for months since March. This man could not get a triple bypass because he kept testing positive for COVID. His life is being controlled by a vicious circle of revolving positive COVID tests. The mRNA operating system inside the vaccine, with a sinister maze of bioengineered lines, symbolizes not just vaccine tyranny to this one man. No, there may ultimately be millions who took the fateful injections, now living under tyranny of illness and injury, or not living at all, cut off by the clot shot's final tyranny of sudden death. Stu Peters concluded the interview with Dr. Sandra Botha by stating that the pictures she brought were, quote, amazing and horrific, never before seen images, unquote. Having seen these ourselves, we certainly agree. Elizabeth said, who would have thought in our lifetime that they would be able to trick people into becoming half machines? She then murmured, why, it's behind the clot shot Oscurden, turning us into the Tin Man. And so my title for this article was born.
And Lou, we opened the mail and we had correspondence from a very faithful listener, and the very faithful listener had a form enclosed, and it was an exemption from the COVID vaccine. But the person, we don't know whether this person is a woman or a man, the person was denied the exemption. And our hearts were broken for the person. And we have prayed about it, and we ask all of you right now to pray for this listener and any members of your family who may lose their jobs by taking a stand or need prayer to stand against this evil, evil genocide. Lord Jesus Christ, we just come to you, knee bowed and body bent. Those are words from a long time ago, a person that you knew as a high school student, and that's me. I was in a little performance of Green, the God's Trombones, rather, I believe it was called. And those were words that always stuck with me because I have been brought low many times with physical illness, knee bowed and body bent. And it's when we are down at this point, you reach forward to help us. You help us at the last hour, the midnight hour. So we ask that you will be with all of the listeners, family, and friends, husbands who don't know whether they can keep their job and support their family. We just ran on to a young man that we never dreamed he had gotten the clot shot, but he said they would have fired me if I didn't. He has two or three tiny little children. Oh, Lord Jesus, we ask for mercy for those who have gotten the shots, those who didn't understand, those who did not deliberately choose to take the dead baby-derived shots. We ask that you will help these people to take a stand and find other employment and to trust in you to make you first. As we know that you said in the Bible there that there's a way that seems okay to men, but that's the way to death, and that only following you faithfully leads to life. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And now, this very faithful listener, we want to talk about maybe a few possible solutions and encourage him. Lou, you went on the Internet, and there's a possible connection he could reach out to. We don't know whether this will help him in the state of Pennsylvania. That's he or she. The listener is from there. But will you give the contact information, Lou, the name of the man and his organization and the phone number, and tell us a little more?
Yes, the man's name is Matt Staver, S-T-A-V-E-R, and he's the head of an organization
called Liberty Council.
Yes, that's right. And in fact, his website is www.lc.org.
Let's repeat that several times, and I interrupted in the middle. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's LC, of course, is for Liberty Council. www.lc.org. And the contact phone number is 407-875-1776.
And in just a minute, we will give that number again.
If you
out there were caught without a pen or a pencil, please grab it right now. And again, this is Matt Staver at Liberty Council. And give the website one more time, Lou.
Yes, it uses their initials, www.lc.org. Now, I looked at this website.
And now, the telephone number again.
Yeah, telephone number is 407-875-1776.
One more time.
Yes, 407-875-1776, 1776. And it looks like they do some very good work. I can't say, as Elizabeth commented, can't say for sure what they could do in the state of Pennsylvania. It would depend upon their laws in that state. But they do have several cases that they brought. They deal a great deal with litigation, lawsuits and such.
And didn't you say there were a couple featured that were successful?
Yes. There are some ongoing. There are some that were successful. And they were pertaining to the very thing that this listener is concerned about, that these vaccine mandates threaten to take away a person's job.
Yes. Well, now, to the other just general from our lives, you and I, just general encouragement to this listener and to others. Sometimes we cannot guarantee that some of you out there won't lose your jobs and struggle financially. And first of all, we would say that if it's at all possible, try to keep your home. But here was just my gut feeling. If this person needs to make this choice and decides, God gave me my life, I won't go against him and choose this thing that is of Satan. If the person decides to make that choice, you know, then you could get in your car, you could drive around. If you're in a city, you could get out to the suburbs. There are lots of little jobs, and there are good, kind people. There may be some churches that are still okay, some pastors who would help. A person could rent a room very economically and not live on much money, because there are ways in the country that you can get your food, you can do things. This is a thought that you can think about. And now we're going to tell about how Lou and I had to trust the Lord very, very, very much. And I would tell first about myself that in 1976 I was very ill and I didn't know what was wrong. And I was going to go back to teach, but I knew something wasn't right. And I was so desperate to go back. And my teaching at that time was in this African-American, very poverty-stricken neighborhood. And I had a little friend named Diane. She and her brothers and sisters became very dear to me. I would go over and give them Christmas gifts and meet with them. Actually, after you knew me, Lou, we had one more meeting with that family.
Yes.
Near Baltimore. And that time, all the children I had taught weren't there, but their brothers were there. And one of them was becoming a pastor going to Liberty University. And when we left that home, we said, this felt like what heaven will feel like, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
It was such a wonderful reunion there.
Yes.
And we didn't even know that those members of the family. But at any rate, I went over to the school, and there was little Diane under the tree, and I sat down with her, and I said, soon I'll be back to teach you. I'm so anxious to teach you. But I never got back. It ended up I found a new Christian doctor, and I had very extreme hypoglycemia, and I was put down to bed rest for about 6 weeks. Now, when all that was going on, then it was nearing Christmas, and nobody loves Christmas more than I do. Isn't that right, Lou?
That's right.
Practically. And so I thought, I'll start up my car, and I will go Christmas shopping, because I had gone to the Christian doctor's office, and he was stacked up with other patients, and the nurse took my blood sugar, and it was now, wasn't 40 any longer. It was up at 75, and I said, doesn't this mean I can be more active? She said, well, I think so. So I never waited to see the doctor. And it was a very foolhardy thing I did when I started up the car after lying down for 6 weeks. And I went Christmas shopping, all right, and I had a heart attack. So I went into a lot of rest again before I could even drive out to this doctor. He was out more in the country, but he could run EKGs with doctors, cardiologists in California. And he said it did look like I had a mild heart attack. So I was not able to go to work the next year into 1976 to 77. Now, for some reason, I continued to get my paycheck. It was a large county in Maryland, rather progressive county at that time. It's largely black, Prince George's County. And it was pretty good in those days with education, because actually I worked in what seemed like a very high-class reading clinic. As a reading clinician, and I wrote up reports, and I visited principals and gave them advice how to work with children who had learning disabilities. So at any rate, I was really shocked that I just got my salary. And I thought, I wonder how that happened. But I was just grateful. Now, had I not gotten that salary, I would have never been able to stay in Maryland. I would have had to go back to Western Pennsylvania, and conditions were such there that physically and emotionally, I would have never, never, never been healed enough to come to the radio like I am here today. So at any rate, I never found out how God's plan, he says, he knows everything that he has in store for us. If we love him, he's planning. I move ahead from 1977 to the year 2004, at my mother's funeral. And at my mother's funeral, there was a man, and he was of short stature, and he came up to me, and it was Benny. Now, Benny was a childhood friend of my brother's and mine, but his mother and father, Vic and Dorothy, had been some of the very first students, English students, of my young mother when she first started teaching in Western Pennsylvania. And you know, Lou and I know that when we were young teachers, the students really love you a lot more than when you're old codgers, because they identify with you, that, you know, you're more relevant to them. And so anyway, my mother was a pretty close friend of Vic and Dorothy because she taught them both. And one time in her classroom in later years, probably in about 1974 or something like that, Vic came in to look at the pipes in her room, and he turned to her students and he said, "I was one of her worst students." Well, you know, that was a joke. But their son, Benny, he had rickets, so he never really reached very full stature. But I heard later he had gone to Prince George's County to be a principal. Now, we bring this up because God, you see, has us in families. And sometimes these families are not just the families we're born to, but they're God's family, God's living church. And that's why it's so important here that we love you and you love us and you pray for this program, because we think you're a mustard seed out there. You're people who want to follow the truth, and you want to follow God's scripture, not what the world says. So at any rate, during my mother's funeral time, Benny came over and he just gave me a little smile. He says, "I guess you didn't know I helped you back in 1977. I looked at him. He says, "There was a committee meeting, and they had to decide who would get disability payments for the year, and your name came up, and I said, you certainly deserved it." And I thought, wow, there was God looking out for me. Now we're going to get Lou's story. Lou had a lot of trouble here beginning in 1991. He was cut from a school system because his salary was too high because of his expertise in math. And so he had to flounder out here on the Eastern Shore. It wasn't a very progressive area as far as paying teachers anything more than just a pittance. So he was floundering for 7 years, and he did everything from work at Radio Shack to sell cars. And one of the times, with a little more in the education field, he was hired by Queen Anne's County to drive around and tutor students who were out ill. And one of these students was a sixth grader named Leslie, and she had chronic fatigue syndrome, and she was so weak that she could hardly hold a hairbrush to brush her hair. And her parents, of course, were Christians, and they appreciated Lou's help so much because his personality is one of great patience and kindness to children and to students, and it was just what Leslie needed. So eventually, things changed for both of them. In 1998, early sometime in that year, my neighbor in a wheelchair was talking to me on the phone, and he says, "Well, Elizabeth, wonder whether Lou will ever go back to teaching." And I said in my human way, "Oh, not a chance, Ron. They'll never hire him. We've waited 7 years for this. It'll never happen." And that very day, an old friend of mine from Prince George's County, who had assisted me in my reading room and then worked her way up to be a secretary, the head secretary of a principal in a very large school, called and says, "Does your husband have a job yet?" There were 3 math openings. Now, after years of being kind of humiliated, you see, and treated as if he was nothing, he walks into the interview, and the principal says, "Wow, look at your credentials. How did a fish like you get away?" And you were eating this up, weren't you, Lou?
Oh, yes, yes.
Now, in that summer, right before you got that job, we had a call, and it was from Leslie's parents. She was recovered. She wanted to become a nurse, and she was having some trouble with high school math. So would you tutor her if they brought her here to our home? They brought her to her here to our home, and you began to talk a little bit to her father, Bobby. Now, why don't you pick up the story from there?
Well, I happened to mention to Bobby that I'd had trouble swallowing, that there seemed to be some kind of condition that had come on.
Your food would stick.
Months.
Your food would actually stick in your throat.
Yeah, it would stick.
You couldn't swallow it.
Do much, get it up or down. And he said, you better get that checked on.
Right away.
Like something that I have. And
he gave you the name of a doctor.
He did. Very fine.
The one he had
specialist.
Had.
And the rest is history.
No, the rest is history is, thank God, he found that you had Barrett syndrome, and that is precancer.
Yep.
And it had to be treated. Now, our point to this is, Lou gave of himself during a time that he had to be very much humbled by the Lord. And he had to trust 7 years of joblessness. But he did his best for little Leslie. And then what happened? Through that family, Lou's life was saved. Now, these are not little things. They aren't. And we can't tell that listener, man or woman, what to do, what to choose. But we do know that God will protect us and that we must make him first. And each of us has to make the choice. And so now, just like a boomerang, the 70 million abortions since Roe versus Wade, they're coming back along with the American church pastor's silence and or active advancement of implementing these COVID-19 shots, these clot shots, sometimes even in the sanctuaries, as we said. So are we surprised that this law of cause and effect allows Satan to harm America's still living children? Teenage girl develops worsening neurological symptoms moments after getting Pfizer vaccine. Sunday, September 19th, 2021, by Arsenio Toledo at naturalnews.com. A teenage girl from North Carolina has developed severe neurological symptoms after getting Pfizer's Wuhan coronavirus vaccine. The young girl in question is Sarah Green, 16. On May 4th, she received her second dose of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. She immediately experienced a headache after the injection. In an interview, Green described her headache as starting at the base of her neck and then radiating to her temples. Related article, Texas father deplatformed by GoFundMe for raising money for son who died after taking Pfizer vaccine. Isn't that horrific, Lou? The evil that we're under. God can break this evil. Remember, listeners, pray for God to foil these evil ones and break up this hidden chain of evil. Back to the article. Describing the headache, Green said that it felt like she got, quote, hit by a bus. When she got home after her vaccination, she decided to take a nap and hoped that the pain would pass after some sleep. But the headaches never went away. She began developing other neurological symptoms. After 3 weeks, Green noticed that she started experiencing small facial twitches. The night of May 23rd, I went to my dad because my neck had started twitching every 15 seconds, she said. Her mother said she would start a word, but she would not be able to complete it. She described it as if her brain was constantly resetting her. It wasn't like she was trying to get a word out. It would just start over. After the twitching appeared, Green's parents brought her to Johnston Health in the small town of Smithfield in central South Carolina. Upon her arrival, Green's doctors noticed that she had constant tremors. The doctors even saw tremors on her right foot. Unfortunately, Johnston Health did not have a pediatric neurologist, and so Green was transferred to Wake Med in Raleigh, over 20 miles to Smithfield's northwest. As soon as she got to Wake Med, Green was subjected to multiple medical tests, including an EEG, a CAT scan, and an MRI, with and without contrast. The doctors did not find anything, but during her MRI with contrast, Green's mother said she stopped breathing and had to be pulled out of the machine to get intubated. Because none of the doctors could find out what was wrong with Green, the doctors sent her home. They weren't even going to refer her to a neurologist, said Green. They said it was just a nervous tic, and she needed to see a therapist. Green and her parents wanted to know if her Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine could have caused her neurological symptoms. when they asked her doctor, he got very defensive and said that the Greens shouldn't blame everything on the vaccine. How can you say you don't know what it is, but say the vaccine isn't the cause? Said Green's mother frustratedly. As soon as we said it was a vaccine, it was likely they couldn't get us out of there fast enough, added the elder Green. The family got a second opinion from a neurologist in early June who said that her condition was not likely related to the vaccine. But the neurologist did admit that there have been more cases of functional movement disorder since the COVID-19 vaccines became more widespread. But the neurologist did not believe the vaccines themselves cause it, but that people stress themselves out over the vaccine, and it's psychosomatic. I have to interject, that's a problem women have had for decades. Women with heart attacks, they go to a doctor and they're told that it's stress or it's emotional. And then some of them have a repeating heart attack at home and nearly die or do die. So we have to get rid of this kind of a bias. This is a bias that gives evil an open door to do whatever it wants. It's really bad. Back to the article, Green's doctors may refuse to admit it, but scientists have known for months that the COVID-19 vaccines cause problems in the neurological system. Back in April, a report came out that receiving the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine can lead to disastrous long-term health consequences that were previously not disclosed. These include Alzheimer's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, and other prion-based neurodegenerative diseases. The report concluded that the approval of RNA-based COVID-19 vaccines like Pfizer was premature because not enough studies have been conducted to figure out their long-term consequences. The vaccine may cause much more harm than benefit, read the report. If the report's findings are anything to go by, Green's neurological condition might progress to more than just twitching and headaches. Her neurological deterioration is one of the consequences of approving an experimental vaccine without conducting proper long-term testing.
COVID vaccines confirmed to kill twice as many people as they save. This was Thursday, September 23rd, by Ethan Huff, Natural News. American entrepreneur Steve Kirsch has released a paper showing that for every person a Wuhan coronavirus vaccine supposedly saves, at least two other fully vaccinated people die from the injections. This is based on official government data, by the way, which shows that getting jabbed in an attempt to stop the spread really is a fool's game. If science is really what we are all supposed to embrace, then how come almost nobody is talking about this latest scientific development? It is right there in the government databases for anyone to look at for themselves, assuming they are intellectually honest and not pushing some other agenda. Quote, there are 15,000 deaths reported in the VAERS system today, Kirsch wrote in the document. The CDC has claimed they have investigated all of them and found no causal link. Zero. Zip. Nada. Can we see a copy of the report? Of course not, unquote. At the very least, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention should have identified at least 4,500 deaths out of this batch, yet not a single one of them has been pegged as a consequence of the injections. This is largely due to politics, of course, as admitting that these, quote-unquote, miracle injections are a complete and utter failure, that is, if saving lives was the goal, would decimate the narrative. Instead, we are now being told that if people will just get a third, a fourth, or even fifth injection, everything would get better. There is no science to support this, though.
Lou, we have to interject here. The latest breaking news from Israel, it's dreadful, isn't it? After that third booster.
That's right.
People are really getting sick. People are dying.
Yeah, and it's the vaccinated ones who are getting sick.
That's right. Go ahead, Lou.
According to Kirsch, the data clearly shows that a bare minimum, some 200,000 Americans have died because of the so-called, quote-unquote, vaccines. Another 300,000 are now permanently disabled and unable to live the normal life they once had, pre-jab. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, he warns. Many of the worst adverse effects will take months, or even years, to manifest. And now children as young as 6 months old, if Tony Fauci gets his way, will be getting stabbed with the drug cocktails. It's a horrifying prospect to imagine where all of this is probably headed, moving forward. A wave of sickness and death, you might even call it the red horse of the apocalypse, is soon to come, and the jabs are to blame. We already know from well-established science that the Chinese virus shots are actively spreading more disease by triggering the mutation of new variants. As it turns out, these vaccine-induced variants are the real pandemic.
Eminent doctor, COVID vaccine is bioterrorism by injection and has likely caused at least 50,000 deaths in the U.S. This is by Patrick Delaney. I believe this was LifeSite News, July 8th, in a candid interview with German international trial attorney, Rainer Fulmeck. Eminent physician Dr. Peter McCullough reflected upon what he called propagandized bioterrorism by injection, expressing concern that the current experimental COVID-19 vaccines may sterilize the young, foster cancer, and could have likely caused 50,000 to 70,000 deaths already in the United States. During the explosive June 11th interview, McCullough, an internist and cardiologist, along with being a professor of medicine and editor of two major medical journals, began his comments asserting, "I believe that we're under the application of a form of bioterrorism that's worldwide and that appears to have been many years in the planning." He believes this bioterrorism has come in two stages, including the phase one, which consisted of a respiratory virus that spread across the world and affected relatively few people, about 1% of many populations, but generated great fear. This fear enabled multiple levels of government mitigation policies, including shutdowns, mask mandates, and mass testing. Every single thing that was done in the public health response to the pandemic made it worse, he said. In response, McCullough and a group of colleagues began to seek, discover, and publish treatments for the virus in the medical journals he edited and began to meet resistance at all levels through their findings demonstrated, though their findings demonstrated about an 85% reduction in hospitalizations and death. Despite his eminent qualifications, YouTube pulled down a presentation he gave on their platform, while other outlets actively suppressed virtually all information regarding the early treatment of patients. So what we had discovered was that the suppression of early treatment was tightly linked to the development of a vaccine, McCullough explained, and the entire program of bioterrorism, phase one, was really all about keeping the population in fear and in isolation and preparing them to accept the vaccine, which appears to be phase two of a bioterrorism operation. Well, he emphasizes, we know this is phase two of a bioterrorism operation, though we don't know who is behind it. And now the news is breaking. We're getting much more information on that, listeners. It is clear that they want a needle in every arm to inject messenger RNA or adenoviral DNA into every human being. In order to combat this agenda, McCullough said, our goal is to get a large group of people that they cannot vaccinate. Such groups should include the high percentages of individuals who have already recovered from COVID-19, at least 80% in Texas, for example, and thus enjoy natural immunity, or are merely suspected COVID recovered. Others would include children for whom COVID-19 is an irrelevant risk, though the experimental vaccine remains a significant threat, along with pregnant women and more. We want a big block of people, he explained. If we can break the needle in every arm, then I think its real purpose will be exposed. And the significant threat, the article here said, along with pregnant women, I think it should have read a significant threat to pregnant women because we have all those studies coming out. Back to the article in McCullough. With regards to ending experimental COVID-19 vaccination campaigns against children, he explained, today we have 800 cases of young people developing myocarditis or inflammation of the heart. Because I'm a cardiologist, I have a clinical authority position here, and I'm going to opine that because there's no clinical benefit in young people whatsoever to get the vaccine, that even one case is too many. The CDC guilty of malfeasance, and because the Centers for Disease Control and other agencies have not exercised their due diligence to reduce the risks of these injections, McCullough charges them with malfeasance. And we have to mention here that we're going to get into that more next week, and we are now thinking about just some headlines here. Infanticide, communist Cuba is vaccinating children as young as 2 years old with toxic spike protein jabs. CDC allows hospitals to classify dead vaxxed people as unvaccinated. Slovenia suspends Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine after death, 20-year-old woman. And there's some pushback. Lou, give us some headlines there from the sports world.
Yes, Elizabeth, we have some...
Maybe you can read one, if there's one, a brief one.
Yes, we have one here, but I can read at least in part. Good News Friday, NBA players and other unexpected COVID resistance. In this week's Good News Friday column, and this is from LifeSite News, by Gilberto Garcia Jones, Friday, October 1st, says I want to highlight several stories we covered on the pages of LifeSite News that show how the great evils of COVID fascism and abortion are being opposed in the most unexpected quarters. And he's skipping down now. He says several of the NBA's top stars came out this week to push back against the league's vaccination policy. While some of our readers may not know who Kyrie Irving is, or Bradley Beal, or Jonathan Isaac, the many millions of young men and women around the world look up to these basketball stars. What a breath of fresh air it was to read Matt Lamb's story detailing how eloquently and bravely these young black men stood up to the corporate and media pressure to submit to coerced vaccination. And he goes on to mention some others that might maybe not.
How about the other article? Can you give us a few people from it?
Yes, let's see.
Was that the other sports article there?
Yes.
Name some of the figures who have stood up and taken a stand. And...
yeah, we have one about the NFL. NFL career may be over. This is unfortunate for young defensive end. Then his name was... the experimental mRNA injections sometime this summer. And he even did a public service announcement encouraging it. But now,
that's so sad. So what's his state right now?
Well, let's see.
Very, very ill. And while you're looking for that, we do need your help to stay on air. We have no commercials, and we try to give you hard-hitting emergency news you need. You can send a little cash or a check only written out to either Global Star Communications or WCR. You can send a little cash or money order, as we say, to Lou Taverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And Lou, what is his state now?
Well, not long after the injection, he had to have his spleen removed because of a rare blood disorder.
Oh, my. Probably the thrombocytopenia.
I don't know the latest on him.
Not good. Not
but
good.
But we'll report on that in the future.
Yeah, so again, if you can help us, send it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And we'll be praying for that listener in Pennsylvania. All of you, keep that person in prayer. And we pray for you, and we need your prayers for provision and protection. Send people to DividedKingdomRadio.com. Good night.